Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Samantha Gallagher, co-founder of Miami-based interior design firm IG Workshop and founder of bespoke rug company Art and Loom. In this episode, Samantha shares how her background in textile and rug design complemented her interior design approach and later contributed to an expansion of her business and her network of industry allies. We also discuss the reality of the trial and error process that comes with the territory and the balancing act of running one business while launching another. If you have a vision for expansion and collaboration in the business of design and you're wondering what that journey looks like, this episode is for you. Before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge our sponsors who help keep the information and inspiration coming week after week. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. I'm especially excited to announce the opening of their newest showroom in Mission Viejo and the upcoming grand opening of their showroom in the Laguna Design Center. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, our conversation with Samantha Gallagher.
So Samantha, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
How are things in sunny Miami?
Sunny Miami is extremely busy, but exciting and really fun.
That's great. So, yes. Well, listen, I'm excited to have this conversation today. We're going to talk about your design business, but we're also going to talk about Art and Loom, which I'm excited about because I really feel like you've done what so many designers have thought about and maybe even dreamed about. And that's really kind of filling a void in the market. So I'm excited to talk about that. But before we go there, let's talk about your design business because we're all about the business of design. So tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us a little bit about your design business.
Okay. So I'm Samantha. I'm originally from New York and currently living in Miami. I was an interior designer in New York City, as well as a rug designer there. Moved to Miami for my husband, who was living here at the time. And when I moved here, I started my own interior design business with another friend that moved here from New York. It's called IG Workshop. And a few years into the business, she was starting to build her family and have kids and decided to bail out. And I ended up partnering with my now partner, Renata Vascones, and we still currently run IG Workshop. And we do mostly high-end residential, some commercial projects. And, you know, thanks to the world moving south, our business has been really on fire recently, which is great.
That's exciting. Everybody's on fire right now.
Yes. So, and then in addition to IG Workshop, about 2 years into it, I also launched Art and Loom, which is my bespoke rug business that I run out of Miami. Mm-hmm. I design all the rugs here and they're made in both India and Nepal.
Very cool. Very cool. So how many people are on your team at IG Workshop?
At IG Workshop, we have myself, Renata, and four designers. Mm-hmm. And then on my Art and Loom side, it's myself and my sales director. And I'm currently searching to build my staff a bit bigger because we're drowning a little bit right now.
Okay, so we're putting that out there, everyone.
Yes, exactly. Please.
And how did you kind of get started in the biz? So, you know, there's usually a couple of variations to this story. Some people knew from a very young age that they were going to be in design. And then other people come out of left field and just kind of find themselves in the world of design. How did it happen for you?
I think I always wanted to do some sort of artistic endeavor, but I was very driven towards business, and I have a business degree in undergrad. So I actually went to go work in finance for a while and sales, and always knew I wanted to go back to grad school for interior design. So I ended up doing both while I was working in financial sales. I went back to grad school for design, did both at the same time, and then eventually transitioned into interiors.
Awesome. So you've got that finance background. Nice.
Yes. Yes.
Very important, as I'm sure you realized.
That was sort of like my parents' essential. I had to have a business degree, and then what I did after that, they would, you know, get behind, but they wanted me to sort of have the baseline for being an entrepreneur, which I kind of always figured I would be. So
kudos to your parents for giving you that nudge, because I'm sure it has served you well.
Yes, it has. It's nice to be able to see things from two different perspectives and not just, ooh, those are pretty things, I'm going to do this, but, you know, how do I budget for that? And, you know, how do I grow slowly enough that I don't have a crazy overhead, and that kind of thing was all sort of what you learned in macroeconomics and business. So yes.
Of course. That's great. That's great. And so out of design school, did you work for other designers, or did you jump right in? Like, how did that happen for you?
Yes, I actually interned for a design firm in New York called Glenn Gisler Design while I was still in school. And then after I graduated, I worked for another handful of different designers, and I would work for one firm and then do stuff for their friends. And it was sort of like a hodgepodge of different designers I worked for in New York. And then I saw an ad actually for a textile and rug designer for West Elm for Williams-Sonoma Corporate. And I really thought that sounded amazing. So I applied for that position, went into the interview, and the woman who was interviewing me realized I had no textile design experience, but I had this great interior design background. So she had me put together boards, sort of concept boards. If you were going to design these fabrics and this rug, how would you show it in a room? And she really liked that I was coming from a perspective of the whole room, not just, oh, this is a pretty product. So she said, you know what? I'll teach you all the textile stuff at night. You bring the boards in and we'll make it happen. And she really became my mentor. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So that's obviously where kind of the seed was planted, the textile design, the rug design. So yes. I would imagine that as you, you know, grew and launched your design business with your partner and continued your career in interior design, was there always this kind of lingering, like, you probably always did custom rugs for your projects, didn't you?
I did, yes. Well, for my own projects, not for other design firms. But when I started IG Workshop here, I knew what I wanted to go on the floor. I knew I wanted a runner to go around a corner and then have a round bit. And it was so complicated to explain it to, you know, your run-of-the-mill rug showroom. So I ended up reaching out to a lot of the factories that I had already developed relationships with and was begging. I'm like, can I just make one off rugs for my own projects? And the one factory at the time said, yes, let's try it out, see how it goes. And I started just making them for my own projects. And then through my network of design friends, they were like, why don't you make my rugs for me? And it sort of just happened naturally. So
because you knew the possibilities, right?
Yeah.
Like you,
I mean, rugs are amazing. It's endless possibilities, but you have to know the pile heights, the fibers, the different constructions. And it was this nonsense that I knew inside and out. I couldn't figure out how to drive from here to there, but I knew so much about how rugs were made. So yeah.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are just kind of picking them from the rack or the catalog. But
I'm telling you, it replaced other parts of my brain that other people are functioning better in. So it's okay.
I do think it's important to note that there are so many options out there and so many possibilities when it comes to rugs. I just had a conversation with Rosie Arditi, and we talked about custom furniture design. Same thing, where the moment you know or learn that skill set and you become comfortable with it, all of a sudden the sky's the limit. You can design anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the nice thing about rugs versus other textiles is you don't really have minimums, and you also don't have the parameters of having to put something in a repeat. So when you design a wallpaper or a fabric, you have to repeat the pattern in a certain way so that it lines up perfectly. Whereas rugs are like a canvas. It can go off the rug. You can have a random fringe coming off, or it's really an amazing outlet for someone who loves to paint and draw and all those things that were my hobbies growing up. Here's my outlet to channel it into an actual business.
That's amazing. So let's bring the design business back into the mix. So when you identified this void in the market, or simply just felt like you wanted to continue to run with your creativity with regards to textile design, how did you manage to balance that with a busy design firm?
That is a very good question. I think honestly, having a business partner is huge in interior design, because we kind of each have our own strengths, where I might be sitting at home being really creative, coming up with these, crazy ideas for a space. My business partner is so gung-ho, so level-headed, such a hustler, that she's like, draw it, I'll make it happen. And I think without that element, it probably wouldn't have been possible. But there's someone to not only bounce ideas off of, but share the workload with. And right. It made it like a little bit less scary. And then, to be honest with you, I would spend my days doing mostly interiors, because we were meeting with clients, contractors, subcontractors. And then at night was when I would get really creative with rugs.
Okay. So you were pretty much working around the clock. And I was hoping that you would say that, because like I said, so many designers are like, I can do this, and I want to have my own rug line. I want to have my own fabrics. I want to design my own furniture. And that's all fine and good. But the reality is you have to find a way to fit that into your business model without neglecting your clients. So in your case, you had the luxury of a business partner, to kind of counterbalance what you were trying to achieve. But that doesn't mean that you were still rolling in at 8 o'clock and leaving at 5:30 every day.
You had to hustle
and work around the clock.
I mean, I can't remember a vacation that I haven't taken my laptop on. When it's your own business and you care so much about it, it's a 24-hour schedule. And not only that, but I spoke to all my factories in Nepal and India. They start working, let's say, at midnight. And then I talk to them at night, and then again at 5, 6 a.m. in the morning. So
it is
not a passive income.
Thank you for saying that too. We'll get to that in a minute. Yes. But, I agree. I talk to a lot of design professionals at different stages in their career, and I have the same conversation with myself too. My business has its own ebbs and flows, and, there was a time when I could work around the clock. I can still hustle, but it's really not sustainable, that working around the clock thing. So I always tell people, it's like, listen, if you are into it right now, if you're super motivated and you're in a place in your life where you can dedicate all of your time to it 24 hours a day, do it. Because in 10 years, you might not be in that place. So do it while you can. Everybody has to do it. It's like a rite of passage. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at first, yes. And now I think what we've become better at is learning how to hire really well. So now my team is just amazing. We can now actually travel to Milan, travel to the shows, and know that everything is still running like a well-oiled machine when we come back. And I sincerely appreciate them for that. So that's really been another catalyst in letting us grow both the interior business and me growing the rug business.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Now back to the rug business. So you had mentioned that you were interacting with, do you call them mills or looms? What do you call them?
Factories. Yeah.
Factories. Pardon me. The factories that are fabricating the rugs, and they're like all over the world. Right. So
yeah,
it's, you aren't just like picking up the phone and making a phone call. You had to not only probably do some research and physically go to these places and understand what they're all about, and obviously negotiate who is going to be your fabricator, right? And that takes some time.
It does. I mean, I feel like I had a little bit of a head start because working for Williams-Sonoma, they hire an agent who is over in Asia, who sort of vets out some really good factories from the beginning. They go check and make sure there's no child labor. They make sure all those things. So at that point, I had a vetted list already from my days at West Elm. Mm. So that was helpful. And then I mentioned before the girl that was my mentor, she ended up leaving West Elm to go work for one of the factories in India as their US representative. So when I first started, really, I was just dealing with her, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then from that, it's sort of parlayed and I've met other people and I kind of know more what to look for now. I know, you know, which factories can manage their schedules in a certain way, whether their lead times are realistic, how often they raise their prices. So now I feel I've gotten a little bit better at it. And again, the nice thing about rugs is you can do a little bit more troubleshooting because you're not committing to a full line if you're not holding inventory. So maybe you try one rug and you see how it goes and you don't like the construction. Okay. You're out a few $1,000s. You're not out, you know, $40,000.
So. Right. You're not running 500 yards of fabric.
Exactly. Yes.
We're taking a quick break to recognize another one of our partners who helps keep the information and inspiration coming week after week. This podcast episode is sponsored by Design Manager, the design trade's most reliable project management, purchasing, and accounting platform. The business of design is complex and requires solutions developed specifically for our industry. Design Manager has invested decades responding to the needs of interior design professionals and continues to deliver innovative tools to manage your design business with efficiency and profitability in mind. Visit designmanager.com to start a free 30-day trial of the tool trusted by top interior design firms across the country.
What are some of the trial and errors that you experienced during this process of creating your own line and interacting with these factories and dialing the whole thing in?
Probably more in the construction of rugs, because when you're selling high-end rugs to really amazing interior designers, they're expecting a certain level of quality. And I think at first I was just trying to get it done. So I would create this crazy shape and I would tuft the rug. And I have since learned tufting rug is a disaster for high-end homes, just because it sheds more, it sits thicker on the floor. And so I just sort of learned over time what, you know, the epitome of the perfect rug for a super high-end designer would be versus what you're going to sell at a retailer. And I think I thought I didn't need to follow that as a rule at the beginning. And now I've really learned, you know, try to stay away from synthetic silks and try to use everything very natural. And you know, there's going to be variation in color. So put that in your POs and your contracts up front, just those kinds of things, really. And shipping, of course, dealing with shippers and logistics has been nothing but trial and error. So.
Especially right now, it's probably even more complicated than it's ever been, the shipping part, the logistics part. But as far as like the details of the design and the materials, you know, I have to admit that it's been a longstanding learning experience for me. And I think it comes down to asking the right questions, which is why I'm glad we're having this conversation, because a lot of the things that you're saying, I'm hoping is going to prompt other designers who are listening to ask those questions of their showrooms and the people who they source rugs from, because it really is I shouldn't say it's as simple as, but you made a good point. It's about the application. So if this is a high-end application and the consumer has a certain level of expectation, what product is appropriate for that versus just kind of like an everyday application that needs to wear well.
Yes. I mean, when people call us, we'll say, is this for a children's playroom or is this for a living room? And then we'll make our recommendations based on that, because obviously you want to keep your costs down for rooms that are not your primary rooms. So we really try to understand the project before we start giving ideas of what we think would be the suitable rug for them.
Right. Because it's very easy just to walk into a showroom and say, ooh, viscose, that's shiny. Yeah. It looks like silk. And then, you know, 6 months later, realize just don't get it wet. You know, those kind of things.
Yes, exactly. You just nailed it right there. Yes.
I learned that one the hard way.
Everyone has, I think, at this point. But yes, we always get like, oh, but I want it shinier. I want it shinier. I'm like, well, then you have to use silk because otherwise your clients are going to hate you later. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to take a lot of our listeners back to like textiles 101, which is actually a really good thing. I think it's a really good thing. So at Art and Loom, you not only design for yourself and your own projects, but you also, you're a resource to the design community. So I, as a designer, can come to Art and Loom and kind of tell you what I need and order something very specific through you. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I have to say when I started out, I would do more, you know, people would send me a vision and I would create something for them. Now we really sell a lot more off of our own collection. Mm-hmm. But yes, a lot of times designers will send us their mood boards and we will come up with 5 or 6 ideas for them because they're busy and they don't want to sit there scrolling through my website. And I think I have like a little bit of an advantage being an interior designer myself, because then I can say, oh, well, you know, your bed placement is here. This rug wouldn't really work. And I can really visualize their space and make, you know, some good suggestions for what might work in their room.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I think that more designers are leaning that way, where they're relying on their resources in a new and exciting way. Part of that reason, I think, is because our new resources are people like you who are designers and understand what we're doing. And so we can trust you when we say, hey, go ahead and give me 3 options and I'm sure they're going to be great. I love your style. I love your taste. I've seen your work. And, you know, I've got some bigger things to focus on over here. So why not rely on you creatively as well as, you know, as a resource? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's great. And then it actually allows me to really build friendships with a lot of the designers that I've loved and admired for a while. So, and I would say, I feel that the interior design community is pretty friendly and like, you know, generous with each other. And there's at least 20 designers that I speak to regularly and we're sharing vendors and we're sharing this and I'm happy to help them with that. And I don't think that would have happened necessarily had I just been a rug vendor, not a designer as well. You know,
right. Yeah, I have to agree with that. I have to agree with that. And speaking of collaborating with other designers, so I noticed looking through your website at Art and Loom that you do have collaborations with other designers. Tell me about how that came to fruition, because again, I think a lot of design professionals out there are considering, you know, just kind of reaching beyond that box that they call design business into other sorts of design. But that standard licensing template just doesn't work for us.
Right.
What approach did you have with collaborating with other designers?
I mean, collaborating with designers and artists is probably my favorite part of my job, just because it really, I mean, think about it. If you're a writer and you get stuck and then you're around other writers and all of a sudden you have a million ideas, and that's sort of how it is with other designers. So again, it started with a few designers I was friendly with in Miami, and they had some crazy ideas for rugs, and we would sit and draw and sketch, and it was really fun to do it that way. And I think, I mean, from a business perspective, there's a decent markup on rugs. So there is room for everybody to really benefit. If you come together, create something beautiful, like everyone should make money and have it be financially worth their time. Right. So I started doing that again with a few designers that I was friends with. And then I would, you know, stalk Instagram like everyone else. And there were some artists that I was just obsessed with their work, and it was in a different medium. And I thought, like, why don't I just reach out to them and see if they have any interest in turning their medium into a rug? And it's really helped explode my business, because I, like, for example, I work with a tapestry artist out of Dallas named Lauren Williams, mm-hmm. and I just loved her tapestries. I was putting them in my own projects. Her husband was selling them. We hit it off on the phone. And I just randomly was like, how would you guys feel about, you know, making these stringy tapestries, not your typical rugs, but a high-end hand knotted. And we did it. It was a super easy collaborative process. And now we're selling so many of them. They're so beautiful. Every time you change the color, they change a little bit. They're both Lauren and her husband, James, are a joy to work with. And so from that, I was like, well, let's try this again. And yeah. I just did a collaboration with a New York artist named Jenna Kreipel. She does these amazing resin sculpture art on the wall. And it would just, I was obsessed with them. Like, this would be so cool. It would look so three-dimensional on the floor. So I, again, randomly reached out to her. She was into it. I flew up to New York. We met, we had coffee, and we're now out with her rugs. So it's just really exciting to get to meet people that you really admire and then also do work with them. So.
And I think it's got to be gratifying for them too, because it seems like a very, you know, comfortable, non-threatening process. And then once you achieve it, you're able to produce that over and over and over again, which is, you know, pretty cool. When you create something that you really love and you're comfortable reproducing it for others to enjoy. I mean, what a great, that's a win-win.
Yeah. And I really try to make it easy for them. I don't want this to create a whole nother business model for these artists. They have, you know, they're physically making their art. So once we design it, I sort of take it all off their hands. I deal with the logistics. I deal with the sales. I'll deal with whatever I possibly can, so that it's a really seamless and easy process. So
love that. Love that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just such a great example of, you know, community over competition and really just, you know, leaning on your community through collaboration like that. I think that's so exciting. That was another reason why I was excited to have this conversation.
Yeah. I have like a lot of really cool new collaborations coming up too. I'm really excited about. So
good. We're going to watch them closely. Well, you know, we've got some signature questions here on the podcast. And so starting with, what would you say the secret to your survival is in this business of design?
I guess the secret to my survival is just don't stop and don't be your own worst enemy. You know, if someone else can accomplish it, so can you. So I just keep trying to hustle and power through and, you know, take it to the next level. And if things are feeling stale, what can I do to shake it up and, you know, keep producing?
Which obviously worked for you with Art and Loom.
Yes. Even with the interiors though, you know, you start to see, and this happens in every city, but there's always a trend, right? And LA becomes, you know, synonymous with one look and Miami with another look. And so I think it's really important to always push the envelope, travel a lot and try and, you know, reinvent the wheel, come up with something totally new that hasn't been seen before.
Cause it's really easy to get complacent and kind of do the same, have the same approach over and over, maybe not do the exact same thing. Although I was guilty of using the same products over and over and I had to stop myself.
Same,
like,
same.
Listen, you got to stop that. Like if we start photographing these projects, we're going to have a problem.
I know. Well, you fall so in love with something. You're like, oh, this would be perfect here, here, and here.
So. That's true. I had products that I love so much. I just wanted to use them over and over again. But to your point, getting out there and traveling really does spark that inspiration.
Yes.
You've got to get out from behind the desk. You've got to get out of the studio and really just kind of get out there and get inspired, because that really kind of, you know, perpetuates a whole new level of creativity.
Yeah, for sure. We try to go to as many trade shows and fairs all over that we possibly can, just for that very reason.
Right. And what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? So the one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you decided to pursue Art and Loom on top of your already growing and bustling design business?
I guess I was always so intimidated by everything. I was intimidated to start. I was intimidated to reach out to people. You know, they're so much bigger than me. They are so accomplished. And then now I sort of realize like everybody is trying to do the next big thing. Everybody's interested in meeting people. And so I think now I have a little bit more confidence that if I see someone doing something great, I'll just reach out, which before I would have never done that. And then also the intimidation with taking on projects. Some projects used to seem too overwhelming. I can't do that entire building. And now I just feel like you can kind of do whatever you need to. And the things you don't know how to do, you outsource and you just find a way to make it work.
Completely. The sky's the limit.
Yes, exactly.
I talk about this all the time with anybody that'll listen. I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek and I love his book called The Infinite Game. And what I like about it is that, you know, his concept, whether you're applying it to life or business or whatever, is that there's really no end point. Like there's right. always more and more possibility. So from a business perspective, you know, you're not going to say, okay, once I achieve this amazing rug line, I'm done. I've made it. It's like, no, what comes after that? And what comes after that? And what comes after that? Like if there's a finish line, I don't know. I like that infinite game. I like just knowing that it could keep going and going and going. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Yeah. That's why I like lay awake. I'm like, what can I make next? What would set me apart? So yes.
A true creative at heart.
Yes.
And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
I think I'm like a really good connector of people. So when people are starting out or people are moving to Miami and starting their business there or anywhere, really, I love connecting vendors and creatives together and bringing people together and collaborating. So I think I kind of pay it forward by just connecting the right people all the time. And sort of pushing other people to reach where they need to reach.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Samantha, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing a little bit about your design and business journey, and especially sharing, you know, kind of some of the behind the scenes on, you know, integrating Art and Loom into your design business and what that process was like and how it differs. I think that it'll be really informational for a lot of designers listening because I just think that thought of it is so exciting, but it's so important to know the reality behind it. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you. This was very exciting for me. This is actually the first podcast I've done. So it was very cool. Yeah.
A plus, you're a pro. Samantha, how do we learn more about you? Website, Instagram for both the design firm and rug.
So my design firm is called IG, like Instagram, workshop.com. And that's our website, igworkshop.com. And then Art and Loom is artandloom.com. We really got creative with those. And then Instagram is IG Workshop Interiors. And Art and Loom is at Art and Loom.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
So lovely. Thank you.
I was so excited to speak with Samantha about filling a void in the industry. We are creatives after all, and if the marketplace is missing something that we need to improve the level of design and service that we provide to our clients, get out there and create it. Now I realize that for many, running one business is more than enough, but I also realize that there are so many of you out there on the verge of expanding into the marketplace, and I really appreciate how candidly Samantha shared the reality of juggling two businesses. We revisited the value of partnership, which we covered in past episodes, and more importantly, we acknowledged the round-the-clock hustle required to get Art and Loom off the ground, and the eventual calm that followed by hiring well and delegating accordingly. I was especially thrilled to hear her approach to collaborations with other creatives and artists in the design community. Thank you, Samantha, for your words of wisdom and inspiration. Speaking of community, we have a big announcement. Design Biz Retreat 2022 is coming to Orange County, California. We're fine-tuning the agenda right now, and I assure you, you do not want to miss it. Topics will include selling luxury, the client experience, generating referrals, partnering with custom home builders, and the state of the luxury market. Save the date, October 20th and 21st. Registration details will be announced soon. Want advance notice on all things Design Biz Survival Guide? Go to our website and join our email list for announcements of upcoming programs and events. Already signed up but not receiving your weekly updates? Check your spam or junk filter, because we have some very exciting announcements coming soon that you do not want to miss. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.